I may not get to it all, but I hopefully with some brevity, I have a word. I feel like you're going to just be seated where you are. If you want to go down, you can. Bear with me. I'm not going to go through everything that I have or I feel like I've prepared. I want to do what God would have us do in the moment. But in order for the kingdom to be vital and legit in this world, the kingdom flows from the Father through His Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit into the church. Whether you realize it or I realize it or not, we are the most vital entity on the face of the earth. Outside the Holy Spirit and outside Jesus the Christ and God the Father, active in this world through the Holy Spirit. And so it is important that we have our stuff together. It is important. It is vital. We are not just some happenstance, some circumstance, some addition to. We are the will of God in this world to win sinners to Jesus Christ. We are a part of His plan. We are the entity that is to stand in the gap. We are the entity that was meant and designed to lead people to Jesus Christ, to disciple them and raise them up in the way they should go. And so when you get to Nehemiah in the third chapter, he talks about in verses 6, 13, and 14, 12 and 13, he talks about three gates. And he talks about, first of all, the old gate. And there's some, you'll say, Pastor, that's where you just keep going there. Stay with me, I'll show you some good news. He talks about the valley gate, that's the valley of the hurting. And he talks about the dung gate, and that's self-explanatory. And in some way, form, or fashion or the other, we have dealt with these entities in the church. The vehicles have been people. The vehicles have been groups and subgroups. But God is dealing with the church in the last day to bring His people. His purpose is to bring us together. The purpose of what just happened, I believe, was to bring the hurting and those who are sick and those who are afflicted and those who need a touch of God to the place of a holy God and to prepare us for the Word of God. Amen. I want to share this with you. There was a movie a few years ago called The Railway Man. And it was the story of a British officer by the name of Eric Lomax. He is captured by the Japanese in Singapore and he is sent to a POW camp. He's tortured by the Kempeitai Thai for building a radio receiver from spare parts. The torture includes beatings and rape and waterboarding. Suffering from psychological trauma years later, him and his wife, Patty, they decide to find and confront the captor that made his life a living hell and escape prosecution. Lomax returns to the scene of his torture and he tracks down this Japanese secret police officer, Takashi Nagase. And listen, these are some of the most profound words I've ever heard spoken. Holding him hostage, not knowing what to do, tears streaming down his face, he makes this statement that has stuck with me for years. He said, "I am still at war." I thought to myself, what a defining word for so many still fighting old battles. Hurting from old wounds, nursing old scars, lost to the past, never escaping an old lifestyle. The body has been released from the prison bar, but the mind and soul are incarcerated in more ways than one. And this hold on us, it paralyzes us, not only personally, but it will paralyze the church. And God has meant for us all to be free. He was released. He released Takashi Nagase, and the worst of enemies became the best of friends until they passed from this life to the next. And so there is hope in your life in the worst of circumstances. There is hope from a God who gives hope and is filled with hope, and a God who wants you to have hope. And so we're taken to the old gate. And the old gate means that if we want to have a healthy church, you cannot cop an attitude about the old ways. And this is where you would say, here we go again. But this is not just about old and young, what's past and what's new. It's about groups and subgroups that form. It's about feeling our place on the totem pole of self-importance. And the old gate, it came out of the original city of Salem. And I believe that there is something that upsets the Lord, that upsets God. And if we don't fix it in this church, any church, every church, that judgment will come. And the word said that Jehoiada, son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besadiah, they were responsible to repair the gate. And it hit me hard, like a ton of spiritual bricks, that someone has to be responsible to make sure that the old works and that the new works and that we all are working together to make it work. There's always a group that resents anything that resembles the past, resembles anything about the future. And depending upon who we're trying to define and make less than, we use the word rebellious. There are those this morning, they don't want to hear an old song. They fold their arms on the first note and they refuse to have anything to do with the traditions of the church that are good. They have a problem with "I'll Fly Away" and the old rugged cross. And then there is a group of older people who are just as rebellious as the young people of today. They have become so self-centered that they think that the church is about them. They think the gospel is about them, and they think the Bible is about them, and that worship is about them. And they have said, it's my way or the highway, and they don't want anything to do with anything new. And so they sulk and they sour as God moves afresh upon his people. And God is saying, if you want a healthy church, I won't send one person to receive Jesus to a church that does not exemplify me and that does not want to be healthy. The past and the future were always meant to be reconciled, to connect, to pave the way for coming generations. And we've got to understand one thing. It's not your church, it's his church. It's not your pew, it's his seat. It's his pulpit, it's his choir. It's always been his kingdom, and we don't own a thing. You are the manager that God has blessed with divine favor. We are the church. Can you lift your hands and thank God that we're part of his church today? Amen. We have to embrace those that got us here. Young people, when you see senior adults, salute them. Extend your hand. Pat them on the back. And thank God for them. For every camp meeting, for every price that was paid, the Family Life Center down the hill is there because someone else paid for it. Embrace them and thank them. This building site, we are thankful today for names that go back, names like Dodd and Glover and Westbrook and Ellis and Short and others. I'm saved today because someone else cared enough about me. A mom and dad that were not afraid to spank my backside when I needed it. And to call me on the carpet when I needed to line my life up right with God and right with a maturity that comes through love and a pouring because they care about me and love me. Thanks to every senior pastor, my dad and my mom, Brother Hawkins Smith, I didn't have a picture. The sergeants, on and on, the legacy that lives on and on forever. because they preached the word when the word was tough and the word was unpopular. You preached when there weren't nice churches and no microphones. You preached without paychecks. And those who rode on mules to the mountain to carry the gospel, I say thank you to the generations that came before me and helped set a precedent about living for God. You paid it in blood. You paid it in tears. You paid it on your knees. You paid a high price for this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, can we all shout a big thank you to those who have paved the way for us? But there's another group that's coming, and they're unafraid to worship. Thank you for reminding us that true worship comes out of your heart. And you don't have to perform, and you don't have to put on a production, and you don't have to line up with everything that is supposed to be right in this world to simply just lift up your heart and your mind and your soul and say, thank you, God, for loving me, a sinner. I am thankful, Josh, that there's a generation coming that loves God. They're as passionate about God as Wayne has been and Gary and others through the years that have helped make the church go. And they're not willing to take a back seat to any criticism or anyone else in the world. They're willing to stand up and square their shoulders and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord as well. Thank you for reminding us about first love, passionate love, unrestricted love that God has given to us. That God's message is real and it's true to every generation, regardless of ethnicity, race, or gender. Everybody needs everybody. And sometimes we fool ourselves into believing that we don't need to hear this. We arrived 25 years ago. We've got this. Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. I tell you, sometimes we think we've got it and we don't. We are not in a competition. Amen. Our competition is not the church down the road. Right. It's the bar down the road. It's Wesley down the road. Our competition is not another brother. From another mother. It's the man selling pornography on the street. It's the drugs on the streets of Walker County that we are praying against and praying for hope and praying for help. We need each other in the body of Christ. Now, this is where it gets good. It's more than ironic to me that the Old Gate is also now known as the Mishnah Gate, which means the New Gate. And it's near the corner of the wall. As the corner comes together, you have the fish gate, which means all are welcome and all can come. And on the other side of that corner, that's where you'll find the old and the new gate, the gate that leads to expanded territory. Some folks are fine as long as they can stay right where they are, but if you've got to pay another price and you've got to deal with another deal in order to get the next generation to where they're supposed to be with God, that's where we shut down. And this gate is set up on the corner. So obviously some scholars know it as the corner gate. It's all the same gate, and it joins the old quarter of Jerusalem with the new. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21. Therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself is the corner stone. Is there any doubt today that Jesus Christ is the Mishnah Gate? He is the one who joins the old covenant and the new together. He is the chief cornerstone. This is the gate. It's more than ironic. It's more than just a circumstance that this gate had the most number of people working on it together to make it happen. I'm telling you today, if we are not together, we are lost. So priority gates, sheep gate, fish gate, old gates. Salvation, evangelism, foundational truth. It was Jesus, it was John who said about Jesus in John 1 and 1, he said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's been with him from the very beginning. That's before you knew what old was. Jesus existed and exists. But Revelation 11 and 15 says this, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. It's not about what you were back then. It's about who you are right now and where you spend eternity. That leads us to the Valley Gate. And the Valley Gate is for Valley people, not California. The Valley Gate is for hurting people. It is a sad day when a boy or a girl are confused about their gender and their sexual partners, and they have to go outside the church to find help because the church has turned its nose up because they're made uncomfortable. It's a sad day when a couple's marriage is in trouble and they fear being ostracized because of what the church will say about them. The fatherless baby, the drug addict, the alcoholic, they must find help here. God's church is the church that understands that not everyone has $1 million to give. You can't pay your way to the front. But they are welcome here. Some people are depressed. What are you going to do? Close the door? Some people have been abused. If they're welcome anywhere, they should be welcome here. When no one else wants you, we want you at Summit. And when no one else cares about you, we care about you. We still believe in rejects. We believe that God saves the worst of sinners. We'll take other people that other churches will not take, because if people are going to get anything here, they must know that this is a church who will love them and care for them and raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. God will honor a church who honors hurting people. I know of a particular church that they hired a full-time PhD counselor. They didn't hire them. Actually, they attempted to, and he said, listen, I don't want one penny. But he said, I tell you what I will do. I feel like this is the call of the Lord. He said, I will train 30 people in the congregation and certify them as lay counselors. Where is the help center? Where is the vision? One person cannot do it all, but if we can multiply ourselves together and we can work in unity and we can work as the children in the church of the living God, there's nothing we cannot do in this community. Amen. I'll close with this morning. The Dung Gate. I love history. My daughter even more so. It's her degree. She's a teacher by degree. One of my greatest fascinations historically has been the Chinese Wall. Philip Bailey, that sung with Earth, Wind, and Fire, wrote a song years ago called The Chinese Wall. You get that song in your head, you sing it for 4 days. But in ancient China, this blew me away. They wanted security against the barbarians, the hordes to the north. And so they built what we know as the Chinese Wall. It was so high that no one could climb over it. It was so thick that no one could burrow through. And so they settled back to enjoy their security. The church we built in 1992. The songs we sang 50 years ago. But during, listen, the first 100 years of the wall's existence, China was invaded 3 times. Not once did the barbaric hordes break down a wall or tunnel through. Each time, they bribed a gatekeeper and then marched right through the gates to take the spoils. If you don't hear anything else, hear this today. The Chinese were so busy relying on the strength of their wall that they forgot to teach the strength of character to their children. If you've got a mom and dad that has spoken life into you, thank God for them. If you've got a mom and dad that think the world of you and love you with all of their heart and they care about your now and they care about your eternity, thank God for them. We are never too old to help one of our young people. So now they have a dung gate. And why is that important? Because you can come into the church any way you want to come in through the valley gate. You can come in here messed up, jacked up. You can come in here bleeding and wounded with a messed up marriage, messed up health, messed up mind. But you cannot stay messed up forever. If you really want forgiveness from people that you hurt, stop trying to manipulate them. Stop trying to manipulate your situation. Treat them that way now like you want their forgiveness and you love them, because you can cry tears of healing until you're blue in the face, but those tears aren't worth dung. What does it mean? It means at some point, you've got to get yourself healed. At some point in time, you've got to get yourself in line with the rest of the army. At some point in time, the Holy Ghost has to fill you. Listen, we may change diapers in year one, and we may do pacifiers in year two, but you're still getting, listen, if you're still getting back there after 5 to 10 years of hearing the Word of God, and you're not moving forward, you missed something in your life. This word will change you. Some of you have been through prayer lines and had enough oil slapped on you to crank a bus or two. And you're still in the same place you were 10 years ago. And still complaining about the same silly stuff and fussing about things that don't matter. It is time for you to get up, go to the refuge gate, and say, devil, you tried to kill me with some stuff, but I'm standing here today at the dung gate, and I'm giving every bit of this stuff back to you. I've had enough of this stuff, and I'm giving it back to you today. No more trying to manipulate my own way. God, I want to please you. Hey, we'll deal with the sheep gate all day long. We'll deal with forgiveness. We'll deal with the fish gate, and we'll deal with the sheep gate, and we'll deal with the old gate and the new gate and the valley gate, but we don't want nothing to do with the dung gate in our lives. And calling it what it is. You can take all those other things times 5, and if you can't deal with the dung gate in your life, those other 5 aren't doing you a bit of good. Is this coming across hard? I didn't mean for it to come across. Can I get anybody to lift your hand in this house that would say, Pastor, I used to be depressed, but I'm not depressed anymore. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Have I got a witness anywhere in this house? I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with oppression. I've been there, Pastor, but I gave it back to the devil a long time ago, and I'm free. Hey! Hey! I used to to complain all the time, but I don't complain anymore. Eunice, I've decided to be free. She echoed, I said, I'm here. The word of the Lord today. Hear the word of the Lord. You can be free. I'm walking in his strength. I'm not walking in weakness anymore. I have the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy and nothing. Y'all heard me. We've got people who are having trouble stepping on pussycats and chihuahuas. And God said, I've given you power to get past your pussycat. We can sit in church 20 and 30 years and act like we've got the same problem we've always had. And if your attitude is just as bad 25 years with God as it was when you first got with God, you took a wrong turn on the wrong street somewhere, and the question is why and what happened. And again, really this statement, I mean it this time. If you hear anything else today, the gospel of Jesus Christ will set you free. He'll make you the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower. The gospel will give you strength that you did not know you had. Brother Dana, today he's my high counselor. He's my wheel in the middle of a wheel. He's my fortress. He's my high tower. He is my buckler and lighthouse. He's the rock of ages and the soon coming king of all glory. He's the root of David and the pearl of great price. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Don't you know I want this? Don't you know I want that? Do you want Jesus? Stand with me all over this house. Stop telling God what he wrote. Stop telling God what he said, and let God tell you what he said. I believe that I've been sent divinely with a broken heart, and at the same time, I have been sent to declare that we are soldiers, that we are in a biblical army. We make up the family of God, that we have resources, that we have the gifts of the Spirit, that we have wisdom, and that we have faith, and we have knowledge. We have healing, and we have miracles. We have prophecy, and we have discernment. We have tongues, and we have interpretation of tongues. We have the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. The dung gate is also known as the purity gate. So somehow you've got to get clean and stop going back to the same old mess. Listen. He died for me. He rose again. He is my soon coming king, and I have a home on the other side. Tell me this morning, if you're going to tell me anything, stop telling me what somebody did to you. We can talk through that and process that. But after about 532 times, I get it. But come tell me, but most of all, tell God, I'm here today and I'm covered in grace. I'm covered in mercy. I've been delivered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe there's a holy God. I believe that living for God is more important than living for me. I believe that His Son sets free and sets free indeed. I believe that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but that He came so that we might have life and life more abundantly. I feel sorry for people that that's all they've got to give to God. It's just waste. Just wasting His time, wasting the church's time. Just keep spinning their wheels. It's time for leaders to lead. And I shouldn't have to remind you 8 or 9 times about what's important and when it happens. When and where to show up. If you lead, you should be seen at renewal. This coming week is a solemn assembly. This is a time when God will speak to our church. I shouldn't have to beg you to pray and make preparation. You can only teach so much discernment. At some point, a person has to accept that responsibility for themselves. People will miss this or miss that, but they will not miss it when it's time to party. Would you just speak the name of Jesus right now? Just call His name out. Would you do that? Jesus, we love You. The next time the enemy tries to get you to speak darkness over your family, speak life and light. The next time the devil even remotely tries to get you to speak darkness over your church or someone in your church, will you please, for God's sake, call on the name of Jesus? Tell your children, listen, tell your children today. Tell them again. They may be tired of hearing it, but tell them again. Dylan, I tell you again. Kristen, I tell you again. Sarah, I tell you again that today, there are some devils that you will never have to fight in your life because your mother and I have already been there and we took care of that giant. We took care of that giant 30 years ago and 20 years ago. And because I'm a bigger and a better Christian now, there are some things that you won't ever have to fight in your life. So proud that we don't care about the new gate. There's some things you will never face in your lifetime because we buried it. Take them to the place of the burial. Take them there and say, hey, this is where we buried it. You'll never have to go there. How do you know that's scriptural? Because Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, He said, it is finished. It can end today. It can end right now. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, we've been led into Your presence and we could have stayed there. We could have tarried there and we could have worshiped there all day long. But God, You've given us a word today. That in our worship and in our praise and in all of the glory and even in the throne room, we still have to bow before the throne. And God, my simple hope and prayer today is that there should be one person, male, female, young or old, hurting, abused and confused. But somehow right now they would make their way to an altar of prayer and leave all that stuff behind. Just give their life to You, fully and totally and wholly.